Welcome to Heart of the Savior Ministries. Tomorrow is the day of Pentecost. It's the day that the Holy Spirit came upon those who waited in the upper room. One of Jesus' last directions to his disciples before his ascension to heaven was, wait. Let's read from Acts chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. After his suffering, that is in reference to Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sights. You know, to wait sometimes can be a real test of our being. You know, to trust when you cannot see, to endure until the appointed time. I welcome Dr. John Swanson to the studio as we've been doing a series of programs with him on being prepared during the end times, just as the disciples were preparing to continue to preach the good news of Jesus Christ until his return. Well, let me introduce you to Dr. John Swanson. He's dedicated his life to working with college campus youth, bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to them, but he's also devoted his life to helping people understand and be prepared for the end times as written in the Word of God. This devotion to God's Word, biblical truth versus man's traditions, doesn't cause fear for the future, but brings about the peace of Jesus Christ, of peace, be still. You know, John, when I asked you to return to share with us, I asked that we acknowledge the day of Pentecost in our program. So why don't you tell us what you're going to focus on today?
Okay, Leslie. And I should say it's good to be back. Thank you once again for inviting us. We appreciate it.
Always.
Well, the emphasis of this program is this: honoring the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives by addressing the issue of sexual sin, which so horrifically affects our faithfulness as God's people in Jesus Christ. We wish to make the appeal of Daniel 9 and be willing to confess and repent of our sins before God so that we can continue to be used through his mercy and grace by him for his glorious purposes.
You know, this is going to be a good one, I can tell. You know, John, you just said thank you once again for inviting us, speaking in the plural. So, folks, what he means is Endurance Ministries. John, could you briefly share what the ministry team of Endurance Ministries is currently emphasizing?
Will do, but can I first pray for our broadcast today?
Oh, please.
Okay. Father, we delight in you. We thank you for your revelation to us and the sweet light that it brings, even in this day. Thank you for your understanding that you impart through your Spirit. And we just ask that your Spirit would move and honor your great name as we seek to point people your way. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Well, okay, and so in answer to your question as to what Endurance Ministries is emphasizing these days, we are highlighting end-time themes which are currently expressing themselves in global culture today. While there is a clear Bible chronology of the unfolding of the days of the end, we are presently emphasizing trends and movements which the Word of God says will unfold before the return of Jesus Christ. And this includes before the gathering of his church.
And I have to say, you've brought to our listening audience so many wonderful lessons and teachings in an effort to help us be prepared as we wait for the Lord's return. So, John, how does this emphasis of trends and movements relate to today's broadcast emphasis of Pentecost?
Okay, are those listening in today seated? I simply ask this because what we'll be discussing this half hour is amazing. It's a huge topic which itself once again showcases the miracle of Bible accuracy. It's sweet.
You know, I've been taken back by the trustworthiness of the Bible, and thanks to you and your heart, including the details concerning end times prophecy. So now that I'm properly seated with my hands planted on the desk.
I see that.
I don't know if people could hear that. What is this amazing thing?
Leslie, our Lord refers to crucial themes which unfold during the days of the end. One of the themes is holiness. Many end time passages appeal to the righteous living of God's people through the dark days of the end. God desires his people to be unlike the world and to walk in holiness. We are not to be like the people of the world, ones described in 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5, for example. In fact, we are to separate from them. We are to heed the counsel of our Lord as given in part in Revelation chapters 2 and 3.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that 2 Timothy 3 passage. It's quite a list. Can I read that passage quickly as a reference for our folks?
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Here it comes. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people.
Yeah.
So how does this relate to Pentecost?
Well, allow me, Leslie, to answer by asking you a question, if I could.
Oh, it's test time again.
Oh, you got it. Well, how is the Spirit of God named in Scripture?
I'm not sure I'm getting what you're asking me.
Okay, how does the Word of God, the Bible, often, very often, actually, name the Spirit? What's the name of the Spirit?
The Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And a part of the Spirit's work in the lives of his people in Christ Jesus is to sanctify, to set apart his people in Christ. Well, this means, in part, living in such a way as Galatians 5, 16 through 26 outlines.
Okay, so let's read that passage.
Let's do it.
All right, so Galatians 5, 16 through 26. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Ooh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness. Ooh, boy, this list goes on. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, oh, I like that, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a little scary. Ooh, John, yet another warning of what we should watch out for, not only in ourselves, but others.
Yes.
But you know, aren't you also glad that he always gives us directions on how we are to live our lives?
Thank you, Lord.
This passage concludes with, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. I like this last one, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another.
Amen. Amen. So here's what we're seeking to bring by way of appeal today. Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, and I'll be reading in response from Galatians 6, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary in doing well, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith.
I like that part. Let us not grow weary.
Right, yes, because sometimes the heaviness contributes to that potential. We just want to avoid that. We want to continue pressing on. We want to continue enduring.
Enduring.
Yes. Well, one way to live faithfully is to walk in His Spirit by whereby we have the resources from God. But if we're living out the works of the flesh, we're quenching, we're grieving, we're insulting, perhaps outraging the Spirit, as outlined in passages including 1 Thessalonians 5, Ephesians 4, and Hebrews 11. We can't afford to sin in this way, for these are acts which undermine the very means God has given to live holy lives. It's too costly to live this dangerous manner.
Would you care to give some specifics?
Leslie, I need to give some specifics.
Good.
So men, let's purify ourselves. Stop feeding the flesh through pornography, which further feeds covetousness, a sin which, if practiced according to the Word of God, brings eternal separation from God. Whoa!
And I want to add women to this same admonition, for as I've counseled with them, this is just as rampant an issue in their lives too, and I never thought I'd be saying that, but it's very true.
Leslie, isn't it amazing that one of the very end time things unfolding, these are things pertaining to themes, unfolding before our very eyes today, I believe unlike ever before, unraveling since the beginning, is sexual sin. Global sexual sins are rampant. It's considered to be in vogue, to be living in this manner, and those who would appeal to the contrary are often seen as hostile enemies of the people. Yet in reality, this sin, in general, is especially detrimental to robust walk with God, because sexual sin, unlike other sins, undermines the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. 1 Corinthians 6, beginning at verse 9, says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." In verse 12 it goes on to read, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach and stomach for the foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God has raised up the Lord and also will raise us up by His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall be one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." So it goes on to read, "Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man commits is outside the body. But he who commits sexual sin sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's."
You know, the Word sure speaks for itself on this matter.
It does.
It does, doesn't it? And I don't think people understand the ramifications of sexual sin, and that it is a personal act of out and out separation from the Holy Spirit when we choose to go this route. And I don't know about you, but the passage that says, you know, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence." And this is the part that gets me. "And take not your Holy Spirit from me. As for me to not have the Holy Spirit is death." So if I'm not mistaken, I believe that's Psalm 51, where Nathan the prophet has called David up for his idolatry.
Yes, and under the new covenant, we can undermine the Spirit of God in our lives today, too. So
yes,
we need to keep that into account, into mind, as we walk and live for Christ. Well, sexual sin has existed for thousands and thousands of years. So how does this all tie to Pentecost? Well, in the days of the end, prior to our final trumpet rapture gathering, we need to be temples which the Holy Spirit of God can use. We need to walk uprightly through the means of God's precious Spirit in our lives. This means abiding in the Spirit of Christ, whereby we live out this crucial theme of holy living during the evil days of the end, just prior to our Lord's initial appearing. This theme of holy living and righteousness is important, one of the reoccurring themes in Scripture. Well, and yet, when we do stumble in sin, in any sin, mind you, we need to confess our sin and claim the forgiving, cleansing blood of the Lamb, as outlined, for example, in 1 John 1, verses 8 through 10.
But John, this gift of forgiveness is applied only to those who accept the work and the person of Jesus Christ.
Applied to, provided yeah. for in the cross, but applied to, amen.
Amen,
so
yeah.
Elaborate, could you?
Well, you know, because we believe, you know, there are some of our listening audience who have yet to say yes to the many provisions of Jesus Christ. I'd like to take a moment and once again to make that offer of salvation from sin and death available at this time.
Sweet. Amen.
Okay. So, folks, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now's the time. Yes, it means coming clean and confessing your sins and asking Him for forgiveness. And I know that can be tough. I know that you may feel that you've done something that is unforgivable, but I'm here to tell you that nothing is unforgivable. When you do confess your sins, your life will be changed. A burden will be lifted, for He says, take up my yoke and follow me. And that's because Jesus Christ is in that same yoke with you, helping to carry that load and lead you in the path that God designed for your life. So simply repeat after me if you're listening. Father God, I confess with my heart my sins and ask for your forgiveness. Cleanse me of my past. I acknowledge that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, as the perfect sacrifice who took on all my sins that I could have this new life in you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit that I can walk as a new person, a child of God, loved and accepted. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Leslie. It's once again been a huge blessing to be about the basic mandates of our Lord Jesus, those that He's given us, and we're about these things on this broadcast today. What a blessing. The ministries of the gospel and discipleship are crucial. It's been a privilege joining with you toward these ends in this radio ministry setting. Thank you.
You know, John, you have been with us now for several years coming and sharing. But we've really been doing quite a series here this past year and continuing throughout the year because you've committed. He's committed, folks. You've committed to be here with us on the air the second Saturday of every month this year so that we can help people be prepared for these end times. We're not trying to frighten people. We're not trying to scare them. We're not saying the world is coming to an end tomorrow. Right?
No.
Okay.
In fact, Jesus' instruction would speak to the contrary.
Exactly, exactly. So we have an opportunity coming up here. So, John, I want you to share about that opportunity, and it's scheduled for June 25th, where people can attend a free seminar you're doing in our area. Why don't you talk about that?
We are bringing that on Saturday, June 25th, and it's on the emphasis of what can we do between now and the time of the Lord's return, because there is a time when the Lord will bring it to an end. So we need to keep that in mind. It's just that it won't happen tomorrow. So as we listen to the Spirit of God's leading as to how we can be better equipped for ministry, actually the ministries of gospel presentation and discipleship in this next decade, we think we've presented elsewhere, we're bringing a similar seminar here to the greater Portland metro area. June 25th, again, registration is at 8:30, but the seminar itself is from 9 to 3:30 or 4, depending upon how long our fourth session will go. The fourth session is actually a think tank, which is a kind of a brainstorming session, so those who come can say, well, how can we maybe in our local churches put into practice or start prayerfully considering ministries along this line or that line? So we kind of give it an open opportunity for them. But this is taking place at Happy Valley Baptist Church in Happy Valley, Oregon. It's on 13th and Southeast King. Let me take just a minute, because I do believe we have a minute.
Absolutely.
further explain the seminar. The first session, we're going to be actually looking to a historical example, one that's coming from the early church community of Asia Minor. The figure most highlighted in this historical event is that of Polycarp. And within this presentation, it's actually a wonderful new DVD release.
Oh, folks, it's great.
We're privileged to bring that as an introduction to some of these very themes that we'll be developing in the third session. But prior to the third session, we'll have a nice free lunch together. But the second session is that of grounds for different gospel and discipleship ministry this next decade. And it's in light of biblical truths, because God gives us insight as to what's coming. And as we're listening, we want to tailor make our ministries to pressing things of the day. Not some traditional things that worked 200 years ago, but things that are unfolding today that we can, by the grace of God, use for the basic ministry mandates to fulfill them that Jesus gave us, that of gospel and that of discipleship ministry. And so the end time themes that we'll be emphasizing in session three allow us to illumine our way, if you would, if you could put it in that way, for local churches to say, okay, let's include this aspect of that which the Bible clearly speaks to, and we could minister the provision of food, for example, to our immediate community because we're prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, continue with spiritual food as well, a presentation of the gospel for those who are saying, wow, there's the signs of the times, or what's happening here? Well, it's actually the Lord's coming soon. And there's still time to say yes. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, from the Joel 2, the Acts 2 passage. Sweet opportunity. So we're, as you could tell, we're excited about this seminar.
Well, I'm excited about it.
It's a blessing. And we have I don't know if there's going to be about 20 DVDs that we're actually going to be giving to those who come, just by way of seeking to equip them better clarity as to what these themes actually are. And it's sweet that many people have also discerned the same thing, Leslie. So it's not just a voice in left field that, oh, are you really right? No, there's a lot of people that are saying, yes, the Bible clearly speaks to these things, and they're unfolding now. Let's be further equipped, prepared for these God-honoring efforts.
Well, and God's Word tells us to be prepared.
Amen.
Tells us to watch.
Tells us to be ready.
To be alert.
Yes. And that includes the days prior to the return of Jesus Christ, because we're watching for, we're being prepared for, we're discerning the false teachers that unfold prior to his return. So it's a both and.
Well, we're really blessed that you're going to be here, because I've been waiting for you to come and do this. I had you as a professor in Bible college. I have never sat under someone who has challenged me to think and to study more than you have. And so to know that you are here and you're going to be able to present this, I am thrilled. I hope everyone listening takes opportunity to hear you.
One of the things that has allowed our ministry God's blessing in his mercy and grace is that of it's not an opinion that we're citing. It's not a foundation of human theory. This is a good idea. We're actually blessed in that we say it's the explicit word of God that is our authority for faith and practice. So we encourage people to continue to go to scriptures. Even in this presentation, we've read many scripture passages.
Absolutely.
We're modeling that commitment to God has important messages for us, insight second to none, whereby we can live today, 2,000 years after the New Testament writing-ish, in a fruitful way, in a way that, yes, while it's difficult time, is a time for great ministry opportunities.
Okay, folks, so that's Saturday, June 25th, registration at 8:30. Program begins at 9, goes until probably 4. If you have questions, call 503-698-8887. Again, that's 503-698-8887, or link to www.endmin.org or www.currentmatters.org. Well, John, that's it for today. We hope everybody goes refreshed, restored, and renewed in who they are in Christ Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you will make God's Word a part of your every breath that you take this week. So as always, in his service, This is Reverend Leslie Nelson and my guest, Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries. Happy Pentecost Sunday.